sort of here, I don't know, 30 minutes earlier or so, and we'll have the recording for that I did Monday with Kevin at that time. So I can slip out of here and catch a tea time. I hope that's all right. The same show, just kind of reversed, right? So I'm here. I'm here now. I just won't be in the last half hour today. So we will again have that recording. And again, we like to hear from you. I assume, because I still have had positive feedback, that people enjoy that recording each week. So if you have any comments or about it, please do shoot them over. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And that is our email address, as well as our phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So I don't know if you caught that, but this Thursday, just a couple days ago, I did the 3 hours of Kevin's program, and I've got to tell you something. Man, I was tired afterwards. I mean, not like after, but, you know, an hour or so after, it was... I don't know how Kevin does that every day. You are on, and so much, if you will, passion is, you just exude so much for so long. I'm sure he's somewhat used to it, but man alive, that was incredible. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too, for those of you that listen. And for those of you that didn't, next weekend I'm going to play 2 hours of it, two of the hours of it, as I'm going to be out of town. So anyway, we'll get another shot at it, and I'll get a chance as well to listen back at the podcast and critique. That's sometimes really hard, right? If you ever listen to yourself, right, or watched yourself, it just it can be very, very difficult. All right, markets keep rolling. So what's the deal? Why do we keep going higher? How? What's going on? You know, and as we think about this too, so many people are fleeing the market. So many people are leaving the market. It's really kind of crazy when you think about it. This is this thing, the market, that has rewarded people, investors, more than anything else on the planet. More than anything else by so far, it's not even worth, you can't see the difference between first and second place. It's not a little bit, it's vast. And this isn't true just like for those of you who are 25. It's not true for those people who are 40. It's true for people who are 80. And it's true for their parents and their grandparents and so on. It has always done that. Always. And yet, people are leaving it today. And people say, you know, we say, well, why are people leaving? Well, you know, the last, you know, what... And they point to certain time frames. Like, well, they're leaving because, you know, we had this correction. Or we had this really bad bear market. Yeah. And they did that in the 1970s and the 60s. But now? Now, with all the evidence of history... A bear market, that's it, done. We're done. That's it. If markets can go down, I don't want a part of that. Even though all of history shows nothing else is close. So I ponder this, and because we can always say, oh, you know, it's because people don't trust in the government. Really? Oh, yeah, that's been a big, you know, the government, big trust factor all of my life. Well, you know, they can't trust the investment bankers. Oh, you mean the Den of Thieves, Wall Street? Like, that's new? What else? Well, you know, the system. What system? The system called creative destruction? The one where companies come and go? Companies file bankruptcy? and new ones bubble up and explode in incredible and hire thousands of people and create billions of dollars worth of profits? Though that thing, you mean, that system? Well, yeah. Well, what I mean is, it's like, you know, they can't, you know, the volatility. Oh, you mean like the volatility that today, for example, the last 3 years have been near record low volatility, that kind of volatility, you mean? No, I mean like 2008. Okay, so we're going to be scarred by volatility in 2008 our entire life. Like 73 and 4 wasn't anything. The 87 crash was nothing. The 2000 through 02 tech bubble bursting, nothing. Well, I don't know. I don't know either. This is what's crazy about it. We all say, oh, you know, I understand. I don't understand. We're supposed to be smarter. We're supposed to have more tools at our fingertips, if you will. More things that we can, you know, say, oh, yeah, yeah, I looked that up. And I check, you know, you have a question. It's funny, in a group, you can sit there and say, you know, I'm not sure if that happened in 1984. Wasn't it in the late 80s or something? Boom. You know, Google it. Crazy. It's just crazy how much information we have at our fingertips. So, again, I don't have the answer. I'm searching for the answer. Why? Why do we perceive this thing called the market as something? It just kind of like, you know, maybe it doesn't ever work out, or it could go to zero, or whatever it could. Or whatever you're saying. Can it? Does it? Has it? We perceive it like it's not of any real value, that it's just this thing over here that you can invest in. And we don't even stop to recognize it's one of the greatest things on the planet. It's where companies go to get capital and where people trade businesses, pieces of businesses called stocks. It's an astounding, amazing thing that grows and grows and grows. Faster than anything else on the planet. Faster than anything else. Many of those businesses pay regular and increasing income to their stockholders. Many of them do. An enormous number of them do. It's an amazing thing. You can buy a business that perhaps has been in business longer than you've been on Earth. Perhaps much longer than you've been on Earth. Even if you're not so young anymore. You don't have to buy a new, I don't really know much about that thing, but I got a hot tip, penny stock. You can throw your money away on that. It's legal to gamble that way out of your own den. You can do that. You can toss money away. The only difference with a casino is you don't get free drinks. But most people don't do that. They buy high-quality businesses with proven track records, profits, dividends. Isn't it, when we think about it, it's just the most amazing thing. You can actually, it's not like you have to start out. You don't have to be the creator of this business. You don't have to know the creator. You just plug into an existing company. Anytime the market's open, you can buy or sell the great corporations in the world. It's unbelievable, really. It's just totally unbelievable. And even coming in late stages like that, the overall great corporations of the world have so far outperformed everything else. Again, nothing is even close. But people are leaving. Yeah, in many ways, it is very heartbreaking because I don't know who's going to take care of them in retirement. I don't know what they're going to do for college education for their children. I don't know how they're going to pull that off with no growth of their portfolio, putting it under a mattress and doesn't work. I'm not even talking about the fact that people aren't saving enough money and are too far in debt. I'm not talking about that at all. But if you're not growing your assets, what are you going to live on? I often get this classic comment. Yeah, I know, market always, I got it. But, you know, I don't have that much time left. Oh, I actually had somebody that just, like, barely retired, literally, like, months ago, say that. Just the other day. I'm, like, thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, they're like practically my next door neighbor. They work out all the time. They have over a 30-year life expectancy. You see, what we say sometimes is just like we just say stuff. Sky is blue. I mean, okay. Better example. Emperor has no clothes. We just say it. We just say things. We just make assumptions that things are there. And we don't stop and think. We just don't stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. I've got over 30 years. That's a long time. I've got over 20. I've got who knows how long. I just don't have enough time. Enough time for what? A rising stream of income that you can't outlive? What do you mean? You don't have, what are you talking about? I just don't have enough time for what? We perceive this, instead of a cash flow machine, as a casino. Why? Look, I know that there's a lot of annuity pimps out there that are just, you know, like, well, you don't want to invest your money in the Wall Street casino, do you? Oh, no, that's really dangerous. Really dangerous? Why? How? It is really dangerous if you're going to put it in and you're going to need to take it out shortly. That's dangerous. If you are looking to produce increasing income all the days of your life that you can't possibly outlive, at a rate faster than inflation, okay, so what's done better than that for an income-producing machine? Nothing. Nothing comes close. So again, is it a casino? Sure, if you are guessing what the market's going to do today, this week, this month. Nobody does that except on CNBC. I mean, it's just stupid. Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, John Templeton, nobody can time the market. They can't. We can't. So that's not what we're talking about. But when we stop and we think about this and we look at what in the world is it what I'm trying to do? For most people, when they hit retirement, it's, I would like cost of living adjusted income for the rest of my life, no matter how long we live. Period. The great corporations of the world, the serial dividend increasers of the world, those are the ones that have done it so much better than anything else on the planet. But instead, the annuity pimps, The newsletter sellers, the gold bugs, they want you to believe it's a big casino. That you have to time it. You have to guess it. No, man, it's all rigged. And somehow today is worse than ever in history for all of mankind, for being in the mark, whatever it is. Interesting, isn't it? So again, I ask, and I ask you, why do you think, why do you think people are fleeing the market? Why is it the average person, I don't mean just, it's not new. This is just, this is something that over the last few years, it's fine. Wow, in this great bull market, where's the average investor? And I know a lot of you are invested, but money flows are showing that there are so many that have been left behind, that there are trillions of dollars in cash earning negative real returns. In our world, there really are not even negative real returns, negative nominal returns. There's $12 trillion sitting at negative nominal returns. It's just, this one's the one that kills all of us, right? It's like, okay, so let me see if I got this right. Okay, so I'm going to give you, say, $10,000 for 10 years, and you're going to give me back less than the $10,000, and I'm going to pay you interest in the meantime, right? Huh? So, I know. Does it just make your head go boop? I mean, it just isn't crazy. It's absolutely nuts. All right, we got to take a quick break, and I really do want to talk to you. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Yeah, please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And again, kind of a reverse today, right? This is when we usually have the rerun from Kevin and I last week, and then, you know, I come in about 8:30 or so. But got a lot of I've got a lot of stuff to do today, including a tea time. So definitely want to jump out and do that. So anyway, we'll have time to hopefully catch all of your questions and comments today. Hang on just one second. I see we've got a caller here, but I can't. Ronaldo had to jump out for a minute, so we'll be right with you, okay? So I want to bring this question up, okay, before we get to that. What and why, as we're talking about the market, why is it that we perceive risk as only price movement? That's all we do, right? I mean, that's it. If the market moves at all in price, that's the risk. What about the risk of running out of money? Isn't that risk? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. But we don't see it that way, do we? It's always the price movement. That's the risk of the investment. We'll touch more on that today. It's really one of those things where it's a real mind shift. And I think it's critical. I don't think it's just playing around with stuff. We have got to rethink risk in a short-term thought. You know, we just can't think any time frame at all anymore. And when we think about, well, I don't know if I should buy stocks right now, sometimes we're talking about somebody that's like 30 years old. What do you mean you shouldn't buy stocks? What are we talking about? Well, you know, I don't know if the market's very good right now, right? I mean, it's a crazy thing. All right, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Jim, thanks for calling and holding. Go ahead, please.
Dave, what's happening?
Hey, how are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Good, good. Busy week on radio for me, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to give you a tip or two if you decide to have a like show like Kevin's.
Well, I wouldn't, but you go right ahead. I'd like to hear it.
Well, you know, one thing that makes Kevin Miller's show interesting is he does talk to news people, you know, Fox News, like Tanya J. Power and Rachel Sutherland.
Yep.
And people like that. Now, if you were to have such a show, you would have to have a pretty much direct line to the likes of Warren Buffett, you know. And maybe you could actually talk to somebody that actually was on Wall Street. Now, that would be rather interesting.
It would. Oh, I totally agree. Kevin and I talked about that, actually, doing, you know, interviews and things like that. And he gave me some advice. He said, Dave, just do your thing. And it's not like you're doing it every day. Just go do your what you do. And if you want to bring a guest in or two, that's fine. But and I can give you some of the contacts at Fox News if you want. But, you know, again, interviewing is a different skill set. So anyway, but Jim, yeah, I appreciate that. That's part of it too, right? For Kevin, you can't be on for 3 hours. You can't just do it yourself. Interviewing is an art, but it also is easier to talk with somebody than to be the entire voice.
Well, so, you know, the thing is, I mean, he's doing this solo, you know, as opposed to the opposing station where they have two.
Right.
But, I mean, Kevin's got the whole ball game, so it's amazing how, you know, it's very informative.
Yes, it is. It is. No, he does a great job. I love Kevin, I really do. It's been fun working with Kevin and watching the evolution of his show since he got here. And, you know, when you're right there and you see it and you watched John and Chris as closely as I did. Of course, John was a very close friend of mine, and so I've seen radio up close and personal for 30 years, and watching Kevin when he came here, new and evolve, and get the station up and going, and it's fun. He's done a great job. He really is a smart, smart radio guy.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody could do it day after day, you know. Well, and stay on topic and not whatever, get depressed and talk about, you know, negative things that are happening that, you know, you see the world falling down around you, but you're still hanging in there and continuing to go on.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, what gives an investor like me a bit of a thrill. Well, I might have told you last September I had a buy order for a Foot Locker for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I just chose them, you know. And I didn't expect it to fail, you know, and finally it did. And, you know, anyway, they just had a great, you know, earnings report, and they're up, you know. But, again, it's not, I don't know, money. It's the fun of doing it. And I was, you know, you're talking about people fleeing the market. Well, are they fleeing the market more than they had in the past?
Yes.
Okay, and you keep rhetorically asking, I guess, why.
Yeah.
And you really, you know, nobody really has an answer, right?
No, that's why I was saying, I was giving all the excuses, but none of them really hold any water to me. They don't, you know, it's because of this upset or that upset. We've had upsets in the past, but why and what, especially with all the evidence of history and all the information that's readily available to us, why people choose to think of it as a casino is beyond me.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, keep asking yourself. If you get an answer, Jim, you give us a call back, okay?
Well, anyway, hopefully other people will call in. Last week was interesting. I mean, he had not only you, but the other, you know, hosts were all really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You know, I didn't, obviously I'm working most of the time. I actually don't get to hear Kevin very much. I can hear him just for a snippet, but, you know, I have a nice short commute, so. Don't get to catch that much, but I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad it was a good week for that.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
Take care and have a nice weekend.
Hey, you do.
And, you know, are you trying to, like, be like Obama with a golf thing?
This is a Saturday. No, I can't. You know, I think I was thinking about that. What has he played? A couple hundred rounds or something? I don't think I've played as many rounds as the President of the United States.
Well, you know.
And I live on a golf course.
I remember, and I was a young tyke at the time. I mean, as far as Eisenhower went, right?
Oh, yeah.
Eisenhower played golf. And I think it's a requirement to be president, you have got to play golf.
Well, I would hope so, Jim. I mean, us golfers, we are a very special, highly intelligent breed of people.
Well, take care.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Tony, hang tough, will you, please? We got to take a quick break here for Fox News, and we'll catch you on the other side. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Tony. Tony, thanks for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I just got a question. I get some financial newsletters, and two or three of them have said that the government's looking into getting into our IRAs. And I was wondering if you can move your IRA to annuity without penalty, and is it a good idea?
No and no. Okay, first of all, let's start. It's a bad idea, okay? And okay. What you're really talking about in an IRA, let's take it all the way back to the political side of things, okay? Now, I know this is going to sound bashing, but it's true. And so pardon me, all the people out there that think central planning is a great idea. So progressives and liberals believe that the government can do a better job of taking care of you than you. They do believe that in many things. And so for multiple years, periodically, Nancy Pelosi is a main one, has brought up the idea of the government taking over the IRAs. Retirement savings is the way they would phrase it. We've got to ensure that every American has their own safe retirement, okay? In other words, give us your money, we'll pay you, we'll completely take over your life. No worries, no fears. We'll dole it out as because we know better than you. That has continued to be tried approximately once every 10 years. Always the liberals, okay? Obviously, because conservatives don't think that way. They think you know what to do with your money. So that has come up. It's not a new thing at all, Tony, not at all. It just is a recycled, here's what they're going to do. They're trying to take my IRAs away. So that's going to be a fear tactic. Now, whether that is to drive you to buy gold, drive you to call us up and put it into an annuity, I don't know what it is. Now, let's go ahead and take the second part of that question and say, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. It just keeps getting trial balloons, and then people come uncorked at Nancy Pelosi. They do, not just from the right. Yeah. People generally are just like, she's completely lost her mind. She has, okay? But this is stupid, and so it dies. But it will keep coming up, I'm quite sure. It's just a little trial balloon is what I would call it. Now, setting that aside, let's go to the other extreme and talk about what is an annuity or what's an IRA. An IRA, first of all, let's skip the annuity. You can have inside of your IRA, you can have an annuity, a mutual fund, a stock, you know, a whole stock portfolio. You can have bonds. You could have a CD. All under the umbrella of an IRA. In other words, an IRA is the tax umbrella of an investment, not an investment. So let's just take a mutual fund, growth fund A, could be an IRA. It could be a Roth IRA. It could be neither. It could just be in your account for you and your bride, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That does not change what mutual, you know, growth fund A is. It is just a growth fund. The tax treatment of it is different in a Roth, an IRA, or in your joint account. It's totally different. But that's all it is tax treatment of it. An annuity isn't different than an IRA. It's an investment vehicle, and it could be an IRA. It could also be a non-qualified annuity. But it's not something different. An IRA is not an investment. It's the tax treatment of an investment. The annuity itself is an investment. And it provides no more protection to the government yanking it from you than an IRA does.
Oh.
Okay?
That makes a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. It's just an investment. It's to say, I want an IRA. What do I buy? Here's my IRA roll. Let's say you have $100,000 in IRA. What do we do? Well, we could put it into an annuity. What does that do? Well, it's in an annuity. It does what an annuity does. Does it have any additional protections? No. It's just an investment. What do you mean in protect? You know, it gets kind of confusing. Now, what you want to do is say, do I want growth fund A or do I want growth fund B? Do I want a balanced portfolio in my IRA? That's what you're looking to do. And then the third part of your question is it a good idea? I don't believe so. Now, there are circumstances where a small piece of your IRA, and this is where it gets complicated, could be in an annuity, depending on just the right circumstances. Way over 90% of these are so oversold that I would have to say, just don't do that. And the other reason is you don't get anything more inside. Everything inside of an IRA is tax sheltered. Everything, whether it's an annuity or not an annuity. So there is no gain in tax sheltering with an annuity inside of an IRA. All there is higher cost, because annuities have higher costs. So don't do that. It's a bad idea almost always.
Well, these government programs, I mean, they're scaring you all the time when you read this stuff, you know, and I just didn't know what to do, you know.
I know. Well, the thing is Tony, first of all, that's part of the job. You have to know when you're opening up anything, you click on it or look at it, you know, this guy, this economist, this well-known economist is declaring that the market's going to fall 60% in 2016. Click here for his report. You're done. You'll never get anything except crappy spam for the rest of your life. They know they sucked you in, and they sucked you into this vortex of the government's after you, the stock market's a casino, everything's rigged, and you got to buy our newsletter, buy gold, hunker down, go get a freeze-drying machine and generators, build a bunker, because the world is coming to an end. You just entered into that vortex by clicking on the doomsday report. And it's true. It knows who you are. I can't believe how right? You go online, you buy underwear, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, through Amazon or whatever it is, and all you have running on the sides is underwear. Like, I need 12 pairs of underwear every week. It's crazy. I've told that story before, so I know I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm just saying I've told the story about buying underwear on Amazon once, and I just couldn't get the pictures of men's briefs. Men in briefs off of my stupid screen. It wouldn't stop. Anyway, it knows what you do, so don't do that. It'll take a long time. It'll take a good year to cleanse your computer of the stupidity. But remember, this is a constant doom and gloom. It's not new. It's just a new delivery system called the Internet, and it is not new. These doomsdayers have been around forever. Fear sells. That's why I spend a tremendous amount of time on the program talking about the realities of what's going on in the world, not because I'm a Pollyanna, but you don't hear what's positive in the world. Almost never hear it anywhere. And so that's why we spend time doing that. And you really do have to be careful, Tony. Don't click on any of them. Stop and unsubscribe from every one of them you can. If you are subscribed to any of them, about a year out, you'll finally start, you know, seeing rainbows and little kids playing in advertisements on the side.
Well, I'm sure glad we got somebody like you to set us guys straight. I sure appreciate you, Dave.
Tony, thank you. Thanks for the call. You have a great day.
Okay, bye now.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We do have a clear board, and it's time to get another break out of the way. We also could visit with you, of course, on email, dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KITO. It's also dave@petsofinancial.net. Now, we're going to have we have a few minutes, of course, left in this first hour, but then when we shift over in the next hour, it's going to be about 25, 30 minutes or so, and then I am out of here. We've got that recording that Kevin and I do from the week before. We have heard nothing, I mean literally nothing, except thumbs up from that. I just reversed the order. Usually that's the first thing out. Made Ronaldo get out of bed early this morning to get in here. It was not very nice of me, but I got a tea time. We'll all survive. Hey, I have one quick thing before we jump into some more things here. I got an email from, I'm pretty sure it's Phil. And for the life of me, Phil, if you are listening, would you please reshoot that question? I have dug through everything because I have owed you an answer to that question for the last couple of weeks. I wanted to have a segment on it, and I just don't want to guess at what it was. I think it was something to do with income in retirement, and I just, but I don't want to guess. So, Phil, please, if you're listening, shoot that email question again or give us a call. And I'd love to get that in the next few minutes so we can take care of that top of the next hour, okay? All right. So we've talked about today why people are fleeing the market, but here's one of the things that I think is not the root cause. I'm not saying there's a cause, because I'm asking this question of everyone. Why are they? What's the matter with us? There's something fundamentally wrong with us human beings. To leave something and not come back, have not come back to the greatest investment for the average person ever. Nothing's even close. We've just talked about that. Nothing's close. This is irrational. It's completely irrational behavior that people don't run to the stock market. It's irrational. And so when we're saying this, and I'm asking this question, why? I'm not saying this is the answer. I really want to try to understand. Because you always hear people, it's been the upset in the market. Like, that hasn't happened before. Well, you know, but we got so much bad information out there. And it's just like, it's the Federal Reserve and QE and Obama, for God's sake. Yeah. Jimmy Carter was awesome. What the heck? Come on. There's not... We got to think about this. There's a deep fundamental something that's going on. One of the things that I think is a problem for people is that we only see price as the defining answer for our risk, for what our portfolio values are, not price, value, in other words, what we receive. We only see it based on price, and we fixate that price every day. And further, we get on our computers. Tip, 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 tip. Ah, oh, our net worth went up. The next day rolls around. Brrr. Honey, get the scotch out. It was a bad day in the market. We could be talking about a 30-year or a 40-year, 50-year portfolio. But what we want to do is we want to fuss on it and fuss over day-to-day movements. Weird. It really is weird. Now when we think about it, so let's pull this down to like a really narrow range, if you will, okay? Right? Really narrow. So we can kind of hopefully understand how bizarre that really is. It's not bizarre if it's Google and doesn't pay a dividend. Price movement is the only thing that matters. But the thing is if every day you're fixating on the price movement of Google, I think you better sell it. Really. I do. Okay, now, but this is the point. Let's take Procter & Gamble. Okay, they make soap. I know, it's really high-tech stuff. Soap. Diapers, stuff like that. And they've been doing it for like, 130 years. It's a long time. But they've actually raised their dividend for 60 years in a row. Pretty monumental. And just as a quick aside, everybody's heard this before if you listen to the show. They paid 1 penny per share per quarter in 1970. They now pay 68 cents per share per quarter. Wow. Wow. I mean, think about that. 68-fold increase in income. Nonstop. Now, in 1970, we had 1973-4 market crash. I'm pretty sure Procter & Gamble went down a lot. What did you do that year, though, as a shareholder? You received more income. I'm sure in 2000 when the market crashed, in 1987 when the market crashed, in 1993 and 4 when we had the whatever currency crisis, the Asian and then the Russian and then the Asian bird flu and all that. Ah, we're all going to die. Remember that? No, you don't remember that because it just was not important once it was resolved. But remember when Kramer was on TV going, oh, God, I don't know, the Ebola thing. Oh, it was nothing good can happen until Ebola is brought under control. All commerce is going to stop. Oh, my gosh. Of course, that marked the bottom of the market. Remember the old Ebola fear. Okay, we have all of these, and markets go down. Stock prices go down. And Procter & Gamble raises their dividend, raises their dividend, raises their dividend, raises their dividend. You mean during Jimmy Carter? Every year. When interest rates went to 1%, every year in the last 60 years, they've raised their income more than anything else on the planet. It's crazy, except other stocks. See, if we focus on income rather than price, is that maybe we're focused too much on the price movements, perhaps? Huh. Maybe we'll get a chance to really elaborate a little bit more on that. Maybe you have an idea. Why are people fleeing the market? We're going to take a break for Fox News. Hour number two, upcoming. Number two of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy or sell and all that nonsense. And it is nonsense. We're here to help each other try to think about things in a different way, a little bit deeper way, if you will. I think it's real easy to talk about, you know, this is going really good over here, this little thing over here, and then pretend that we're on front of every trend out there. What's really hard in investing, we've been discussing this, and again, I want to toss this question out. Why is it that the average person is leaving the market? That so many are. I don't mean the average person, like, you know, you're silly to be in, but net, there is so much money on the sidelines earning zero, and if you will, honestly, earning negative real returns. And markets, which we all know, have averaged 10% for our whole life. Why? It can't be time, so why? Why are people doing that, and why do we try to do silly things? Why do we succumb to the idea that we can trade the market, that we know what's going on because we read stuff? You know, and I always like to remind myself of this. Let me give you the analogy first. Let me tell you what happened to me personally. Okay, so my analogy is you're walking through a casino. You're on your way back to the buffet. You know, they put the buffets at the back because, you know, right, they want you to walk through the casino, throw a couple of bucks on the table or whatever on your way in or out, or preferably both. And so you walk to the back, you're walking by, and there's a roulette wheel spinning around. Psh, 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 psh. You look over, you go, 11. And then ding, dong, boom, boom, ball falls. It's 11. You go, you know, next time I have a feeling from the universe or God or gas, whatever it is, that my number's coming up, I'm going to run over and throw a fiver on there next time. And what you don't think about or remember, because what just happened is extraordinary. On a wheel that has 38 numbers on it, two zeros, you just hit the one number. That's extraordinary. Highly unlikely to happen. And so you remember that. What you don't remember are the 38 other times you were walking back and you thought 11, because 11's your number, or it's your birthday, or it's your anniversary, or whatever it is. It's just a number. You always think it, and bop, it fell in 23. Well, that's not extraordinary. That was expected, and you don't even think about it. You put no weight on it at all. You look over 11, keep walking. And so we have this confirmation that we're right more than we are. And so taking that to the markets, we often don't remember how many times we thought the market would correct, right? We just were reading stuff. We're going, it just doesn't look right now. You know, it's just, everything's, just feels like feels terrible. I should probably sell some stuff. And then finally, you're right. And you're like, man, I got to start listening to myself. I'm like Trader Joe, man. I'm like the man. I should start a newsletter. I got this thing nailed. I know when markets are going to swing. And we forget that every time we thought that and didn't do anything, which is what you were supposed to do, is like, keep going, yeah. But the one time when the market really takes a dump, boy, you are a hero. And wish you would have, could have, should have done, and listen to yourself, and because you're so smart. We do that. Let me give you an example. me. This goes back a few months now. And I was, it was, Mark, this goes back into late last year, sometime late last year. And it was a Wednesday. And I was just kind of like, I remember walking out and going, telling Jennifer, she runs our whole office. She's just great. And so I just walked out and was talking to her. And I was like, God, this feels terrible. I don't know. It's just everything. It's just, this thing just looks like it's going down. You know what I mean? It just looks terrible. So I'm grumbling, and I'm just sure the market's going to sell off. And I got to grumble off, you know. Well, Thursday and Friday are a combination of over 500 points on the upside. I am not joking. It was like up 280 and 220 the next day. It was crazy. Crazy strong. Crazy good. And then literally, you know, as you can imagine, right? You know, it's like, you just like, I don't know, you know, like sitting there watching something, you know, it's Friday night. And I'm just about ready to go to bed, and I go, oh my gosh. Now, I don't know why I thought of this, but I did. And that was what was so remarkable. I remembered thinking, I remembered that I thought for sure the market was going down. Wednesday. I mean, sure, it was going down. Not that I went and did anything. I am disciplined, and at least in this one little aspect of my life. It's crazy. But I was so sure, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I was like, market was up big, boom, boom, you know. Hey, here we go, we're rolling, it's good, all good. And then out of the blue, I think of it, for no reason under the sun, on Friday night. And I go, man, I got to talk about this, because I got to remember this. This is the classic bias we can all easily develop, to think we're right more often than we really are. Because we forget all of the times when we're wrong. Because it's not extraordinary. It's just, yeah, I thought the market looked terrible. Then it didn't. Okay. Does that? That's what markets do. And you think about that, and how it was a big deal to me to remember, recognize out of the blue, and because why? Because I realized how many times I never even thought about how wrong I was. It doesn't matter if you're disciplined, because it doesn't matter. You weren't going to do. I wasn't doing anything anyway. I wasn't going to go in and go, yeah, you know what? I just feel it, man. I wasn't going to do that. So I didn't. But think of all the things that we do in our life and how important that certainly can be. To be aware, to not be governing by these random thoughts. And why it's so important for all of us to have the right inputs. There's so, let's face it, even if you walked around in life, if you ever turned a TV on, almost all negative inputs. It's like you can't possibly get enough positive in to overcome, to overwhelm, to even hardly temper all the negative. I mean, it's not just awful stuff, right? Who's sleeping with who and what do you think? Do you think that, don't you think that dress was just hideous on her at the Academy Awards? Don't you say, ooh, that's just hideous. I can't believe they actually throw her out. I mean, this is what amounts to reporting for most. And then, or it's, you know, when it comes to financial or more serious things, then it's like, you know, well, what do you think the market's going to do in the next 5 seconds? You know, well, you really nailed that back in 2003. Oh, great. So let's bring him back on, because he's been wrong for only like, you know, 15 years, but hey, got something right in 2003. So where do you think oil prices are going? Oil, it's all about oil until it's not about oil. It's all about whatever else. And it's all this hindsight, wild reporting that leaves us all spinning. And then we go to the internet. And as we talked last hour to Tony, it's like, Tony, don't you got? Oh man, you got a good year or two to clean up your computer because you clicked on the doomsday report. I know it was free, but now they got you locked in. Boom. Tony likes to hear about this. Tony will buy a chunk of gold from us. He will get a generator and a freeze dryer. He will. Just keep picking on him. Keep picking on him. This famous economist says that the world is going to end next summer. Boom. All you got to do is subscribe to our newsletter, and we'll help you navigate the coming catastrophe. All over the internet, all over the TV, all over everything. Everything is bullet point. Boom, 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 boom. And it's negative. Negative, negative, negative. So it's really hard for us to get this perception of what things really are. And we get this fast-paced. So why are people, but again, back to the question, when we look at the evidence of our entire life, when we look at the evidence of all of our ancestors' lives, when we have all of this information, and some of it good information, we can certainly look at it and know, everybody knows, the average rate of return of the stock market is 10. It almost never does 10. It does way more, way less. We go to all-time highs, and then we have normal corrections. And we go to all-time highs, we have normal corrections. But what do we choose to freak out about? The normal corrections. It's normal. Why? Why do I do that? Why? Why does it matter if my $1 million goes to 900,000 or my 100,000 goes to 90? Who cares? Well, but I can't all go away. Why? Why do you think it'll all go away? It never has before. Never. Never once. But what it does is it always corrects. Always. And you can't guess when. Yeah, I mean, you can try, because I know you're plugged in, you're wired in, you're in discussion groups, you got all this stuff, and you talk to all the really smart economists, and you know how much the QE has been done, and how much has to be undone, and you know what the Federal Reserve is going to do, and how much debt there is in China and Japan, and when they buy it back, it's going to cause this and all that, and the blood moons, the Shemitahs, and all that stuff, it's all coming down, man. And we miss all of history. And we miss it. We just totally, totally miss it. It's crazy. I know. It is crazy. And then the best part of this is really, this is a really great part, right? Because of technology, and it's cool. You can push a button every day and know what your net worth is. Yeah, I mean, multiple times a day in case you want to check it. But does that help us really think out 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Does it help us get away from all of the noise I was just explaining? Or does it bring us closer? See, if we pull ourselves back from all of the noise, it becomes clearer, doesn't it? If we pull back just a little bit over our life and we say, yeah, wow, isn't it interesting? My Johnson & Johnson and my Procter & Gamble and my Pepsi and, you know, my Exxon and Chevron, all these, I am getting a lot more money than I did 5 years ago. And really a lot more than 10. Yeah, I know oil went down, but that Chevron dividend didn't. Huh. Weird. Weird. Anyway, our bias is negative. The world is negative. But we have all of this data and information about the worlds of stocks being so rewarding. So again, I ask, why? Really, why? I mean, I know there's a reason here, a reason there, and all that. Well, why? Why are so many people left out of the market? George, I got to have you hang on because I want to take your call on the other side of this break. I got to get a break out of the way, and then you and I will talk. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. With Dave Petzel on Idaho's talk station. 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our final segment live today, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do ring us up if you'd like to. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Right now, let's go to George. George, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, George.
Hey, I just wanted to call with some good words about your program last week with Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown.
Oh, great.
That was really, I was so busy, I could only catch just little parts of it here and there. And I thought that they were actually talking about two families that they were dealing with. And it wasn't until I reviewed it on my walk, you know, that I realized, oh, this is kind of a composite of everybody. But in truth, down toward the end of the session, I was catching a little bit of it, and people had called in. And honest to goodness, Dave, I was afraid somebody was going to call in before they could finish their story of what happened to those two people. It was really good.
That's great. You know, hey, it's to be continued. That was kind of that was their, I think, brilliant plan. Uh-huh. I really liked it. When they were talking about it, and usually they don't tell me what they're going to talk about. They shut the door and they're just done. But they were excited about it, so they came in, and then we all kind of talked about a few things and got some more thinking going, group thinking going, and they are we're all hopeful that and this is a very important. Thank you for saying that, because that's the kind of feedback that they need to hear. If they're going to continue the story. But, yeah, they're thinking that might be an ongoing little bit of a story about how people evolve in their lives. So that's good to hear.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure with all the experience you all have that you've got lots of stories of things that happen. And, honestly, I believe that people could identify with that. I may not have done some of the things that they're talking about, but I've certainly experienced it, just like the thing about the spenders. You know, I started off with that. And realized pretty quick, oh, man, I am way behind the eight ball here. I've got to change this. And so what they had to say kind of matched my experience, and I'm just really glad that I did what I did, you know, years and years ago. But, yeah, it was a total winner.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, George. And, you know, and you're a step ahead of me. I had a pretty busy week this week, so I wasn't able yet to go on and listen to the podcast, but I'm anxious to do so. And,
yeah, well, both of us. I've been up to my eyebrows in work, and it's not going to stop for a while, so.
Well, I know, but that's one of those things. I've got to just bracket out the time and get it done, because it's great, and it's great listening to them. I think they do a very good job. I really always have.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a long time. They haven't been on since, I think it was last fall.
That's right. It's been a while.
Yeah.
One other thing, I don't know if you've ever considered, one of the things that you and Kevin together, it's a really, really interesting, you said you had nothing but positive feedback about mm-hmm. it. I think maybe the reason for that is because it's the two of you. Kevin's sounds like a pretty savvy guy. And he asked some really good questions and talked. He didn't know everything, you know, just like who does, but you do, Dave. And so he asked those questions and you answer them or give advice or things like that. And maybe you could consider having a foil on there with you to, you know, that's what Glenn Beck does and some of these other talk shows. So maybe that would be something you might consider. I'm adding to your workload. It's even suggesting
that. That's all right. That's good. Well, Kevin does. He'll poke at me a little bit, as you know. He enjoys even sometimes when he comes on. He says, "Nah, I was thinking about you this weekend. I got something for you."
Uh-huh.
And he won't tell me what it is. He just again, that's part of it. That's really part of live, and that's part of the fun. I know it sounds like it's really scary. But if you don't dive a little bit into the unknown, and I don't, you know, it's mm-hmm. you can always say, Kevin, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've said that before, but it's but at the same time, he has no problem putting me on the spot.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Well, you know, when people call in, if you had like a board full of callers all day, I mean, the whole show long, it would be interesting. People call in with the most interesting things, and stuff I never knew anything about.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Oh, I'd love that. I wish that we had a little bit more of that on the weekends. I certainly enjoyed that I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but I did Thursday, Kevin's show Thursday.
No, I'm
for 3 hours. So that was you know, you do get a lot of calls. I mean, goodness gracious. I think one half hour we talked about legalizing marijuana. That was probably the most rambunctious group. I mean, of phone calls.
Hopefully.
So, I mean rambunctious in a negative sense. There was a lot of thoughtful things about it, but it was a topic people wanted to talk about, I guess.
Sounds good. Well, anyway,
hey George, thank you.
Glad I caught you before you left.
I appreciate it, George, and thank you so much. And you have a great weekend.
You too. Happy
Thanks.
Golfing.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah. George has been. I just have to tell you real quick something. I only met George I think once or twice. Once was to drop off a tape, because he taped literally just the old cassette tapes, taped a show. We did, and we actually had a malfunction here on when a group of us got together to kind of on a Saturday to kind of talk about John Duane, our good friend, had just passed. And all the people that, you know, Chris Kelly was here, and John Tuso was here, Dinah Jewell, Ray Amaya, and if I'm missing somebody, I'm so sorry. I don't think Dan Long, he was gone that time. But anyway, we all gathered together and just kind of and shared stories and all, and even Reverend Roscoe called in. Well, anyway, George was kind enough, because we literally lost that recording. And he was kind enough to drop that by. So thank you, George. I know you've been a longtime listener and just a nice gentleman. So thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, well, we're just about done. We got about a minute left. And today the question was, and I want to ask you to ask yourself this one more time, not because you have to have an answer today, but I think we have to contemplate that in ourselves. Because we collectively, meaning, why am I not in the market, not fully in? Why? Why have I held back the greatest investment ever? Why? What am I doing? Right? So it's not just a question, generally speaking, why haven't people embraced the stock market? It's also us, isn't it? Right? Why am I having a bunch of money sitting on the sidelines? What am I doing with that? Why am I doing that too? So we ask ourselves that question. I'm looking forward to talking with you next week. Have a great weekend and enjoy the next 30 minutes with Kevin Miller and I.
Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Joining us now, a man that knows a lot about money, the host of Money Matters, the Petzel Center, the Petzel Financial, Petzel Facebook, Petzel, our great friend, Dave Petzel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
You know, fairly insecure.
You are?
Yes. We were talking to Tanya J. Powers earlier, and I made a grand disclosure that I will be on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
On vacation for a week. And I am being totally honest with the audience.
Yeah.
Usually, I will sit there and not say anything, and then people call the radio station and blah, blah, blah. And that's the unique nature of what we do here, and you have a great perspective on it because you've been with this station for how many years? 25, 27, 35?
Yeah, 30.
You were here when Marconi flipped it on?
That's pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have a unique insight into people that work in this business. On one hand, overly confident. On the other hand, terribly insecure.
Absolutely.
So this is kind of like, even though this is supposed to be a program about like Treasure Valley issues, I'm being, how should I say this, selfish today because I'm airing my insecurities.
There's nothing selfish about that. That's just being a little bit transparent, letting people in a little bit.
I don't know if that's entertaining, though, or not.
But, which is, again, to you, the insecurity. You don't know.
Right. And so you've been so gracious to give us a day, Thursday. Are you looking forward to that?
I am. It'll be interesting. I don't have any idea what we're going to talk about yet.
Well, you know something, that's in the spirit of this program. That's really what happens every day.
It is. And I've got a couple of ideas, but, you know, it's a little different to have 3 hours.
Well, you have 2 hours every week.
I do, but now it's really more like 1.5 because we usually rerun this moment.
Sure,
at
this
the beginning.
One moment in time.
That's right, because it's always so good to talk with you.
So what do you make of that we're paying these amateur athletes? What do you make of that?
You know, actually, Kevin, I wrote this little thing down. I don't know if it's it was just something for me to dwell on later. You know, sometimes a thought will pop in your head and you'll say, I don't want to lose that one. I want to maybe work with that a little bit. And I wrote down, is this the last real Olympics? Are we at the end of the real Olympics when it's about just the love of a sport. Paying them some amount, which again, of course, $25,000 is not a big deal. But the amount of money that some of these folks are going to have outside is in stardom. But they work so hard. So it was just a question. It was just a question in my mind as I've been, listening to the book Unbroken and thinking about, World War II and the atrocities of the Japanese and how those people just kept going, those POWs and all, right? It was, compare that to the kind of self-sacrifice we have today. It's different. It's a different ballgame.
You bring up a good point, and if you read, I think the book on the Bataan Death March and what the Japanese did, and part of the unconditional surrender is that our government cut a deal with the Japanese that we could never hold them accountable. Mm. Now, people talk about what the Germans did, and they are right to do so, but the Japanese government and the Japanese army, what they did in the human experimentation,
yep,
and just killing people,
yep,
what they did to the prisoners.
37% of the American POWs, known POWs, and obviously because of the war atrocities, it was way higher number than that. But that's how many reported POWs of America were killed in camps. It's absurd. It's like 1 or 2% is what happens in a normal, like German. There were 1% of Americans were killed by the Germans in camp. It's absurd. It is. It was something, you're right, that isn't talked about very much, and it takes an amazing book like Unbroken to come out along with the movie to get people to understand how bad that was and how bad the Japanese were.
Right, and even to this day, we don't know. Now let's talk a little bit about the economy. Before we do that, I'm looking at a picture of Home Depot, and you remember, I guess maybe it was during the Atlanta Olympics that Home Depot used to run this ad where they had so many Olympians working for them. Where, you could go work at the Home Depot store. Now, they probably weren't stocking shelves.
Right.
They probably were paid just to train. But that was, really, it made you want to go to Home Depot to support them. When,
sure.
And a lot of these folks, probably not Michael Phelps, but some of them, have jobs and have to. Kristen Armstrong, she's coming home and, she has a regular gig. And, she trained because she was at such a high level. She could put in 2 years and win another gold.
Yep.
But we forget about that the sacrifice, and that's time away from family. That's time away from, doing other things that these folks do.
It's amazing. It's an amazing sacrifice. And we were talking about a whole team of people, too. It's not just the athlete themselves, but the coaches, the trainers, all those people. There's a vast entourage of people that you're talking about. It's an industry within that, and that all needs to be supported with outside work. It's truly an undertaking. And it is remarkable. I think that's why we love the Olympics so much, because it is. It's a huge human sacrifice that few people are prepared to do.
Now, I'm going to shock you with this. I'm not down with the Olympics.
You're not down with the Olympics.
Being a curmudgeon contrarian, I'm not down with the Olympics this year.
That's kind of like saying I don't like,
ice cream.
Little kids' laughter.
Apple pie.
It irritates me.
Well, it does. Me and Donald Trump.
You don't.
But we've talked enough about me. Let's talk a little bit about money. Can retail news fuel more stock gains this week? Because, look, and here, here again, what type of person roots against the stock market? Well, being...
That would be you.
And Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. However, the best ever.
Best ever. We had a triple header this week, trifecta, whatever you want to say. We had all three indices hitting all-time highs. Now, that has not happened since 1999. Now, of course, that's brought out this chorus of, here we are again, 1999, here we go. And that's absurd. It is absurd. It's not a reasonable comparison. The NASDAQ, which is tech-heavy, was driven by the air.coms of the day, IPOs, no business plan, no earnings. So it crashed, and it took 16 years to come back. So we finally have these records being set in all three indices, and it's obviously a very powerful market quietly since we bottomed in February. And most hated, Kevin, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen record highs like, no, it really isn't that. It can't be. It's not right. It's you're not the only ones. You and Terry aren't the only ones out there that wish this market would go down.
Well, Well, and people are wondering when and if that's going to happen, because it does happen eventually, right?
Well, yes and no. This is an important point. Does the market correct? Absolutely. We have corrections, approximate corrections being defined as a move of over 10% down. We have that happen every 14 months. Now, that's all. Let's just call it once a year just for rounding errors here.
Sure.
So once a year, this happens. And then once every 5 years, the market goes down 20% or more. Again, on its way to all-time highs. It's this weird guessing game. I think it's weird because, A, nobody's been successful at doing it. And, B, why does it matter in the short term? Price only matters when you buy and when you sell. That's it, just twice. It doesn't matter in between. It's just there to simply freak you out, allow people the opportunity to panic as they did during Brexit. And you can, and for those people that want to get in, they've got an opportunity to get in at a bargain price. We don't know what's going to happen 2 days after Brexit. That's the point. You don't know. If you knew it was going to go higher, then nobody would ever sell. But it does move to all-time highs, and that's why it just is very confounding to me and has been for decades now that I've been in this industry, that people choose to freak out about short-term movement that nobody's been able to guess and miss the entire picture that the market's not dangerous. It always goes to all-time highs. It always has your whole life. It just sometimes has corrections in between.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us here at 580KIDO. You know, it's funny. I had somebody talking a little bit about our friends at Mattress Firm, and they were just bought,
mm-hmm.
and it was too fly-by. He goes, hey, man, the stock is doubled.
Yeah.
Because people were buying them out. You know, how does that work?
Well, you have to offer enough of an incentive for the stockholders to vote to say, okay, you can have the company. So if the stock's at 10, oftentimes buyouts are higher. Now, doubled, that's very unusual for a buyout to be that much higher, especially in a market like we have now where the market has been very strong. It's just in retailers, until recently, we've been in a kind of a depression for retailing like mattress companies. So the answer is you have to offer an incentive to get Kevin and me and everybody else to say, okay, yeah, let's vote for that. I want the ABC mattress company to take over this company.
Right.
And I'll sell it for $15.
But, you know, and we're seeing a consolidation in that business because there was a merge of Sleep Company and Mattress Firm before that, like a couple of years ago. And mm-hmm. Look, I represent them. They're great. It just kind of, it's interesting when we have, a company that we're familiar with that happens to and their stock goes way up.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting how it changes. You're right. The industry, like that industry, is going to consolidate. Also, meaning some will go bankrupt.
I thought I was
a new mattress every week, and there are a lot of them out there.
I thought I was the only one allowed to be negative.
No. Was that negative?
Well, when you say some of them are going to go out, I'm one of the some of them, yeah.
Yeah, that would be negative for you. You're right.
Okay, so at 580KIDO, if you were going to start a business based on, you know, way out yonder in Meridian, as I say, I just keep seeing these homes growing and growing and growing. What do you think would work? And we see the primary cares. There's another one on Chinden right next to the new Fred Meyer. They actually now, St. Alphonsus just put one up in Star,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing, because people need these things. So we see medical going out there, the expansion of St. Alphonsus and St. Luke's mm-hmm. Right in Nampa. I mean, these big facilities as well. This is amazing. So if you were going to put something up, because I was driving around, I'm thinking, okay, what do these people need, and what can they grow into? What do you think would be a good opportunity?
Yeah, it's an interesting. I guess you'd have to spend some time thinking about it. Entertainment comes to mind, but at the same time, the way everybody is entertaining at home now, it makes it a very hard to sustain business, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, how many sports bars can you have?
Oh, correct, right.
That's really...
Right. So I'm thinking along the same, but you're the same lines though of that, because people do need community. Now I know that there's a large group of people out there that think community is their Facebook, but human beings are not built to be alone. We do need community, and that Pokemon thing we were talking about here a few weeks ago speaks to that exactly. There, you know, the bad part is there's people walking off of bridges, right? You know, as they're playing. The good part is that the people are getting out of their house and they're walking with other people to discover weird creatures near the water.
Have you seen
and
these
stuff.
Folks?
I have. It can be a little scary. I know.
It really is kind of like The Walking Dead, where mm-hmm. you have these zombies running around, and I don't really get it. I think, again, why haven't we had the imitators? You know, and you know this in business. You have someone like the folks that, you know, Nintendo came up with this. You and I talked about this before here at 580KID. Why haven't we seen the find the super criminal, since we have these superhero right. movies? The Walking Dead, which is the biggest show ever on cable television until something else comes along. You know, why aren't you looking for the zombies there? Is there a reason for that? Do you think yep. that the technology is that tough to come
up
with?
It is right now. I absolutely assure you that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of companies out there that are looking to make a copycat.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, and have been, but these guys came up with it first, and now everybody else is changing direction to try to get quickly with game number 2 or 10 or 20.
Or even going back to that old concept of where's Waldo?
Yeah, well, that's what it feels like to me. It's like,
right.
Who cares where Waldo is? It was silly.
I was hoping
but
for
imagine
the...
walking around, wasting your time, trying to... Anyway.
I was hoping for the fine Dave Petzl and Kevin Miller.
Yeah,
it's
around. That'll be the next game and iteration.
Yes, it'll be right up there with MySpace.
Right.
You're listening to 580KIDO. Okay, there I go. I hate it when I do that. Dave Petzl with us here, Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. School back in session very soon. Does that mean the markets are back in session? Kevin, the markets are never out of session, Kevin.
They are out of session. That's what we have right now. We've got the dull summer trading. And it's wonderful, Kevin. I mean, just think about this. People couldn't care less about what's going on in the markets. And that's wonderful right now. It's a great distraction, Olympic time, all that.
Speaking of which, I picked up the latest issue of Consumer Reports. And I'm anxiously getting ready to read this article, and it's something right out of Dave Petzl. And Dave Petzl has been talking about this for at least 5 or 6 years here at 580KIDO. And the article is, should you let a computer pick your retirement?
Mm. Mm. It's better than you standing around watching TV to pick your retirement. But the answer is, for most people, no. They need more help than that. They need hand-holding. They need people to... help them through those normal corrections and not panic and not do silly things. It's just human nature.
Right, but are we getting rid of the human nature in a lot of things?
No, we are. We are, Kevin. It's a frightening and a super exciting future, because technology is so exponential. It's just really hard to imagine where we're going to be with technology in 5 years and 10 years, let alone 25 or 30 years. It's an astounding thought as we just blow open the barriers of IR.
Yes, IR.
IR. Am I saying that right?
Sure.
I just completely lost it.
Oh my gosh, we have to tape this. This is awesome.
This is terrible.
This happens to me like 7 times a show. And then I go like to a clutch phrase and go, well, so-and-so, where the heck am I? I hate that. It happens here. Let's switch gears.
It's the reality. What am I trying to say here?
Virtual reality.
VR. That's it. Virtual
Not
reality.
IR.
Thank you.
Injured reserve.
That's, yeah.
So you have people. It's amazing because one of my new favorite things to do is I read this magazine. Kevin, is that all you do is watch TV and read magazines? Yes, actually it is. And my physique resembles that, unfortunately. However, there's this magazine called Sports Business Journal. And in it, they've described that colleges like to recruit the high-profile athletes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's the University of Miami that is the first one to do this, virtual reality goggles. So if you have those, you can take a tour of everything. You don't have to go there.
Right.
Now, is there a danger that we're becoming so, back to our last segment, so Pokemon virtually centric that we're not... experiencing these. People say, I'm tired of these kids playing games.
Yep.
Nobody throws a football anymore.
Right. No, that's true. And they don't. They watch somebody else throw the football through their goggles. I don't know, Kevin. That's one of the things I think we're going to have to deal with society. I remember a movie goes back years ago where they talked about this, where people didn't actually have sex. They had
right.
virtual reality.
Yes.
It was Stallone was in that thing, and there was some big thing about a Taco Bell still being around.
Yes, Demolition Man.
Yes, that was it.
I told you I don't have a life.
Yeah,
It's very exciting for Mrs.
Miller. You can't remember anything except the 30-year-old movie. But
yes.
How far ahead when we think about that movie now? How
right.
far ahead that movie
Self-driving
was?
Self-driving cars.
Self-driving cars, exactly.
Everybody was PC. You got a fine if you swore.
Yeah.
Their Jet.com is a, I guess you'd say, a competitor to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart just bought them, I think, for $3 billion. Now you have an ex-Sears executive saying that's a wasted $3 billion. I've gone to this website. It looks like something put together out of the MS-DOS era compared to Amazon. It really yeah. is very basic when you go to Amazon and everything is just ready to go.
Right, right. It would be. Otherwise, you would have heard of them before now, right?
Right. I mean, they have, like, purple lettering and such, and I don't know how people use this, but if you're Walmart, there must be a value to this. I mean,
yep.
it's different from going to Amazon, folks, because you're looking at household items like Tide detergent, Scotty toilet paper, grocery items. Maybe that's what they're focusing in on as opposed to the bigger items that you see on Amazon.
They've also have a price advantage to Amazon for whatever reason, but they've been a money loser. Kevin, it's a desperate situation for Walmart. They're not going to roll over and play dead to Amazon. They're not going to do that. And so I don't think it's wasted $3 billion at all. I have no idea if it's wasted or if it's going to be the most heroic, amazing thing they've done. $3 billion for a company the size of Walmart is nothing. And so if you have the ability to catch up and then maybe even make some inroads in some area against Amazon, for a company like Walmart, 10 times that price would not be too much to pay.
You know, you bring up a good point here, and you take a look at Walmart, you take a look at Albertsons now with the mm-hmm. home delivery.
Yes. Yeah. I had somebody walk in and go, here, you probably need this. I'm going, yeah, if I ate more than if it wasn't just me.
Well, you're a Costco guy.
Well,
you go there and you have, your hidden places across the country where you stock everything when the...
Just,
right.
Just in case there's a great meltdown, as long as I have a car.
Right, but what do you make of that, though, that you go to this home delivery where you don't even go to the grocery store anymore? Do you think that's going to go mainstream?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I do. I think there will be a lot of people that still go to the local store, but I think that people the world is busier, and you come home and look at all the prepared meals. That's something I've considered and will consider definitely in the future. If there's a future Mrs. Petso, then
sure.
I think that would be something that, if people are busy, to have a few high-quality meals that are you can unfreeze.
You know, and it's funny because there's a company in Boise that I have thought that that there's a hole in this market because everybody's so health conscious that actually it's a company that, you get your chicken, you get your rice, you get your vegetables. Now, again, it's not cheap, but
yeah.
they deliver once a week to you.
Yep.
And those meals are fresh.
Yep.
They're healthy and they're ready to go.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay for the convenience. Now, again, we tried that with MyFitFoods. I thought their model was flawed just because you had to go there. But a delivery service, it seems to be doing well.
It is, and the quality of food is excellent. Jennifer at our office, she affected the program this Saturday with Tom, and they've used that service. We have a family of four now,
yeah.
family of one. That doesn't make any sense because it's too much food, but they are very pleased with the quality of it. It still needs to be prepared, because it is that fresh.
Well, we're always pleased with the quality of you.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Any teas for Thursday that you'd like to share with us?
No, I don't have any teas for Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see where that program goes because I don't have any particular thoughts going into it yet. I'm going to start letting that happen tomorrow, and maybe we'll grab a guest or two.
I'm so excited to hear that you don't have a plan.
As you know, Kevin, getting everything nailed down and having some big plan is not the best way to do it. It's very overrated.
You know, the great ones, they just come in, have the coffee, and go.
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't think we'll be that unprepared, but thank you.
Dave Petso, this Thursday here at 580 KIDO. Dave, thank you.
Looking forward to it, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you again for doing this.
And thank you. And thanks for being around most of the time. I personally, you need a break. I'm glad.
Well, thanks.
I'm glad you're going. Everybody needs one.
Yes, sir. Hopefully it's not for too long.
Go discover yourself.
I'm afraid of what I'm going to find.
I think that most people are.
You're listening to 580.